This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Traditionally, federal policymakers and rule setters have been aided by expert advisory panels, hundreds of them. But the Trump administration recently ordered all agencies to cut that number by a third. And before that, the administration suspended, disbanded, or restructured many such groups. One example is the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee. This seven-member panel is mandated by the Clean Air Act and advises the EPA on air quality standards. Last October, EPA's acting administrator Andrew Wheeler replaced five of the seven members in a move that critics say sidelined science. He also disbanded two panels that aid the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee, focusing specifically on particulate air pollution and ozone. Now, a year after being disbanded, the Particulate Air Pollution Panel is meeting again, but not in an official capacity. The group plans to report their review of air pollution science to the EPA, but the meeting is being hosted by the Union of Concerned Scientists. Gretchen Goldman is research director in the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get into talking about this panel and their history and what they're doing now, I think we need to start actually with what they're focused on. And it's this certain kind of air pollution called particulate matter 2.5 or PM 2.5. What is that?
It's an air pollutant. It's actually the ambient air pollutant, ambient being out in the world, not from directly from a smokestack necessarily, but the way that we protect people from it is by looking at levels in the ambient air, because it's everywhere in our major cities and other places that have industrial emissions. And so it's actually the pollutant that is responsible for the most death and sickness in the country. So this is a big deal. It has a lot of impacts. Where we set that standard affects what kinds of emissions are permitted. It affects what levels we all are breathing ultimately, and that matters because this is a pollutant that is associated with health effects. One of the big ones is premature death. So people die earlier from exposure to particulate matter, and it's made of tiny particles that are smaller than a human hair, and they get deep into our lungs, and that is the problem. So the PM 2.5 part is that it's less than 2.5 micrometers, and that means it gets deeper into our lungs and wreaks havoc on our cardiovascular and respiratory systems, and that comes with many health consequences.
And where does PM 2.5 come from?
It comes from a combination of emissions from motor vehicles, particularly diesel vehicles, and industrial sources as well. There's some natural sources of particulates as well. And when you look at those all together, especially in the presence of heat, sometimes we see lots of particulate matter in the air. So it tends to build up in urban areas. It tends to build up around areas with lots of industrial facilities as well.
Gretchen Goldman, the panel that is being reconvened is a group of experts, I believe about 20 experts, who have traditionally been part of setting limits for particulate matter pollution. And the Union of Concerned Scientists, where you work, does not take a position on a particular standard or say this is where we think it should be, but instead advocates for having independent science advice be part of that rulemaking process. And this is something that you have tracked, not just in the Trump administration, but over many administrations. What role is science playing in federal rulemaking and federal policymaking? What makes the disbanding of this one particular expert scientific advice panel so egregious in your mind?
That's right. We've been following this for a long time, and the ambient air pollutant standards are actually a place where science has for a long time informed the policy process. And this has worked well under both Democratic and Republican administrations, and even in the face of tremendous pressure from politicians or industries to not set a health-based standard like the Clean Air Act requires. So this has worked remarkably well, and the way that the EPA ensures that we get a standard that protects public health is they ask the experts and see what people who are the top experts in the field say is a health protective standard. And the EPA needs this particulate matter review panel to do that. There is the 7-member advisory committee that you mentioned, but that one is only 7 people. They are generally selected for expertise on a wide range of pollutants, and so they are not necessarily particulate experts. And then this particular panel, since the Trump administration replaced them, it is less representative of the top experts in the field than it would have been in previous times. And so this all means that less expert science advice is feeding into this process. And so it was important to us to ensure that science can, to the extent it's able, informs this process to make sure we can get a health-based particulate matter standard out of this process. And so we are helping to ensure that that panel can still come together, have the scientific meeting that they would otherwise have had if they were still officially an EPA panel, and that will allow them to continue to inform EPA's decision.
Of course, since that group has been disbanded, the work of the advisory panel, the 7-member advisory committee, has continued. They actually put out a policy assessment report in early September, but they've actually officially said to the EPA, we need additional expert input on particulate matter. So where does the official process within the EPA stand right now?
Right. The EPA and the committee are actually between a rock and a hard place right now. They have this situation where Administrator Wheeler has disbanded the panel. The remaining 7-member committee has said, you know, actually we need the panel or something that approximates that panel because we do not have the breadth and diversity of expertise that is needed to conduct this review. And so they've said that, and Wheeler has made clear he is not going to address that in a significant way. And so as a result, they've sort of been left high and dry in this situation, and they're sort of expected to press forward and expected to continue advising on this process, even though they've already said they aren't adequate for that. So, you know, it sets up a strange situation where they're going to do the best they can, but they don't have all the expertise they need. And so we'll see what they end up concluding. But I think, you know, our hope is that they will consider any recommendations that come out of the particulate matter, the independent particulate matter panel process, and that way that independent science advice can still inform the decision.
Well, Gretchen Goldman, this reconvening of the particulate matter panel is being hosted by the Union of Concerned Scientists, but you've done pretty much everything you can to mimic what would be the EPA process. So talk about what's actually happening going into this meeting and what the goal or the output of this meeting will be.
That's right. We're hoping to follow the process as best we can that the EPA would have followed. We're holding the meeting at a hotel where they usually have it. It's being run by a former EPA staff member who did run those meetings. And so he has years and years of experience in running meetings like this. And he knows he has run the ethics review for us. So we're following a ethics review process that approximates EPA's so that we can make sure we are upholding the same ethical standards in choosing panelists and how they disclose any conflicts. We are also doing it all in public. We are including a public comment period, so members of the public can submit comments to the panel. They will listen to those comments before they deliberate on the science. It will be live streamed, so anyone can attend in person or they can watch online. We wanted to make sure that we could follow that same process that EPA normally would do and that has been so effective for many years in ensuring we have health protective air pollution standards.
And then what is the projected outcome of this meeting? They're reviewing all existing science on particulate matter. They're recommending a specific limit. You know, what actually should come out of this?
Right. So they're going to get do as much as we are able to do in 1 2-day meeting. The main thing that they are reacting to is the policy assessment coming out of EPA. So EPA staff scientists have comprised a document that is the particulate matter policy assessment. So this is a document that takes all of the science, and then at the end, they will answer the question of whether or not the current particulate matter standards are adequate to protect public health and welfare, or if they need to be strengthened.
Gretchen Goldman, this particular science panel on particulate matter pollution is not the only expert science panel that has been disbanded or, let a charter lapse or that sort of thing over the past few years. Most have not tried to reconstitute themselves. I'm aware of one that was part of the National Climate Assessment process that did. And in that case, they kind of got support from states and cities and nonprofits and are offering their advice directly to cities and states and corporations. But you can't really, do that in this situation where the end goal really is federal regulations on particulate matter pollution. There's really no substitute for the EPA here. And I'm curious whether this meeting, there's an earnest sense that this really could affect the EPA process, whether there's any indication from the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee that they will incorporate the work that this panel does, or whether this is really just a major show of protest, I guess, of being disbanded.
Sure. I think it is more than a show of protest. Even if the committee chooses not to fall in the same recommendation with the panel, it will certainly go into the EPA docket. The EPA administrator will have that information in hand when he ultimately decides to set the standard. The other big category where this is potentially useful is the legal realm. So there is often litigation around the ambient air quality standards, and this would sort of indicate, it might indicate that there's, if the administrator was to set a standard that disagreed with the panel, I think that's something that could be raised in a legal context, because under the Clean Air Act, they are required to follow the best available science. They're required to set a standard that protects public health and welfare. And if the panel comes to a different conclusion about what that science-based standard is, that's something that a court could decide.
Gretchen Goldman is the research director at the Center for Science and Democracy with the Union of Concerned Scientists, organizing an upcoming meeting of the Particulate Air Pollution Advisory Panel that was disbanded by the EPA last year. Gretchen, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.